Hello and welcome to The Deep Dive. I'm Alex.
And I'm Joe.
And we're the founders of award-winning marketing agency, Campfire. This is our new podcast that's designed to take a deep dive into social media and more specifically, the psychology behind the way we act online.
This week, we're going to dive into paid ads with a focus on Facebook ads. We've briefly touched upon this before. However, if you're looking to fine-tune your ads or whether you're a total newbie to paid content, this episode is for you. Throughout the episode, we'll be sharing insights into using the Facebook Ads Manager to its maximum potential, as well as pulling together a lot of insights around the sort of content that works the best too.
Throughout this season, we've spoken to a lot of psychologists and brought on guests that have allowed us to really understand how to create content for audiences. And so later, we will collate a lot of that information to guide you on how to make an ad that works. We'll also be chatting to our head of paid, Liam Davis, to get his advice for paid content, as well as asking him whether traditional forms of media like TV ads and billboards are now redundant.
In 2019, Facebook made over $69 billion in ad revenue. It's big business. Facebook is allowing any brand of any size to hyper-target an audience on whatever budget the brand has available to spend. Facebook also offers detailed feedback on the results of their advertising efforts, so you know exactly where every penny is spent. It's the ultimate marketing tool, but some brands are still putting huge budgets behind billboards and TV ads.
Billboards cost about £200 to £500 per billboard for 2 weeks. The cost is heavily dependent on location, but this allows people to potentially see the same billboard time and time again if they frequently take the same journey. The daily or weekly repetition certainly helps to get across a brand's message, but there's no way for us to be able to tell how many people have seen it, or even if that ad has helped persuade someone to make a purchase. But there are no hard numbers, unlike in TV and on Facebook Ads Manager. TV ads, on the other hand, allow for slightly better targeting, however are much more expensive. Not only is there the cost of making a video ad that is of a high enough standard to sit well in amongst the other ads, but there's also the cost of running the ad in prime time slots.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I know this is an extreme example of TV advertising, but last year, the cost of a 30-second ad during the Super Bowl was $5.25 million. Not only is the cost for an ad rising year on year, but the viewers of the Super Bowl itself, year on year, are shrinking. These cultural shifts aren't reflected in TV advertising all that well. And so it goes to show that you can very easily put your money in the wrong place, and you'll only find out the stats after the ad has aired. So to put that into perspective, if we wanted to get the same amount of views on TikTok as the Super Bowl, which is about 100 million viewers, I could say with complete certainty we'd only have to spend around 2% of that budget. Again, I'm sure we'll chat about this with Liam later on in more depth, but it's a really interesting topic to unpick.
We know we're biased towards social content, but it seems to make sense to take budget away from an ad space that's not providing great return on investment and putting it in a place where you know you're going to get seen by the right audiences and that you can see those results in real time. We also know that TV and billboard ads tend to sway towards a goal of brand awareness. But with Facebook, you have the ability to choose between brand awareness or performance marketing, with your choice of campaign objective and the content you're producing. We'll discuss this in more depth with Liam later on in the episode.
With all that being said, paid isn't the most simple and straightforward of tasks. There are a lot of moving parts and it's actually quite easy to put your money behind social content and see no return. But don't worry, this episode is here to guide you through paid social.
So now we're going to chat to Liam Davies, who you'll remember from our episode about listening devices. Liam's our head of paid here at Campfire and he's already shared some really useful insights about how our data is harboured and used by Facebook, but we're keen to get some more specific insights into paid and how to maximise your paid efforts. Hello Liam and welcome to the podcast again.
Cheers, glad to be back.
So we're going to split your interview into three sections to cover Facebook, audiences and brands.
As we mentioned, you've touched on this in the episode about listening devices, but please could you tell us about how Facebook gathers our data and knows what we are shopping for and interested in?
Okay, so Facebook gives all advertisers a line of code. This is called a pixel. And all you do is you put it on your website and it allows you to track certain actions. So it can track me looking at certain products, whether I buy them, whether I add to cart. So over time, Facebook will collate all of this data from all of these different users on site. It knows exactly what products they're looking at, what they're buying, And yeah, as advertisers, we can then leverage that through interest-based targeting. So that's pretty much really quickly how Facebook would gather data on its users.
So really quickly, if I've got my website, how would I go about in detail adding the Facebook pixel to my website?
Okay, so there's a few options. It's made much, much easier if you are using Shopify. Because if you are using Shopify, they offer some really quick and easy integration. So all you would do is get your Pixel ID from your business manager, and then you paste it into the Pixel section on your back end of Shopify. So it's super simple that to do it that way. And if not, let's say you've set up through, be it like WordPress or Magento or something like that, you can do it through other ways where you can literally take the line of code from Facebook's end and you put it in your header of your website, as simple as that. Or you can use Google Tag Manager as well. So there's three pretty simple options there. So yeah, those are the ways you would add a pixel to your site.
So obviously we know that when it comes to the content that you're seeing in your newsfeed, a lot of it is manipulated by algorithms so that you're constantly fed, you know, content that the platforms know you're going to engage with. Is that the same for ads or is it just for content?
Yeah, 100%. So Facebook is always aiming to make user experience as good as he possibly can. And a lot of that comes with what ads you see, not just what content you see. So they have something called relevancy scores. So advertisers with really good relevancy scores tend to get better rates in auctions and things like that. And basically what a relevance score is they will calculate how well people are receiving your ad based on clicks, engagements. So yeah, 100%. The ads you are seeing is because of an algorithm that learns about people. So the algorithm might learn, for instance, that you always click on ads to do with hair care products. Now, let's say I am advertising some shampoo. I will leverage the algorithm through interest-based targeting or lookalike targeting, and it will show my ad to people who the algorithm has learned that they like hair care products. Again, my relevancy will be really high. So basically, I'm a good advertiser in that sense. So the goal for Facebook is always to show as relevant content as possible, whether it be through an organic post or paid.
And how does Facebook categorize ads by goal? So meaning traffic or for conversions or for engagements?
Okay, so this is an extremely important one to touch upon if you are trying to make sales through e-commerce. So Facebook give us a lot of different objectives for campaigns, and they split these out based on where people would generally be in the funnel or the stage of the buyer journey. So you have your very top line, which is your brand awareness or your traffic or your reach. And then you have your middle of funnel objectives, which would be your like video views, traffic, that sort of stuff, engagement. And then bottom of funnel objectives would be your conversions and your catalog sales. Now, if you are running an e-commerce campaign, we would generally say to run conversion-based campaigns. Now, the reason for that is Facebook will put people into buckets. And people who generally fit in the conversion campaign bucket are premium users. So they're people who would like or would generally buy things. And your people in your other buckets wouldn't buy as much. So let's say I run a £100 campaign on traffic and a £100 campaign on conversions. 99% of the time, I would see better performance if I optimize for conversions because we're going after a more premium audience. Now, click costs are more expensive at that end of the scale because it's more premium. So you can play around with objectives based on what the business wants. If you only want traffic and you only want volume, then traffic would be a great objective. But if you are looking for sales specifically, then I would generally just optimize for conversion. So that's how Facebook sort of works in terms of different campaign objectives.
Okay, so once Facebook has gathered that data, the next step is presumably choosing how to direct that to the right people in order to fulfill the campaign goal, whether it be traffic, awareness, etc. So I guess the first question there is, how is the audience served these ads? So how are they separated by their interests? You know, how does Facebook know that some people are interested in some things and that, you know, it should be directed towards them versus, you know, this audience over here, this other audience are interested in other topics? How does Facebook know that?
Okay, so yeah, there's two different ways they would put people into buckets. So as an advertiser, let's say I am advertising based on interests, which is a great place to start. So I'd assume the question would be like, how does Facebook know people fall into specific interests? So two of the ways would be, one, it depends on what content you generally like or engage with on Facebook, whether it be organic posts or ads. Because just a quick tip, like if you want to start seeing more ads in a specific niche, if you like ads in hair care, you will see more hair care ads because it knows. So there's that way, or there's the way where it tracks people based on what they do off site on other people's websites through the pixel. Because Facebook knows if what sort of category my products fall within. So let's say if I'm always shopping for beauty products, I will always see ads for other beauty products because it will group me into whatever my purchase behavior is like. So it will take into account what I do offsite and what I also do on-site in terms of what content I engage with.
What would your advice be on fine-tuning an audience? Are there any common mistakes you see brands making when it comes to building their audience?
Yeah. So specifically through paid ads, one of the key ways to get as profitable as you can really quickly is to test your audiences. So that's something we do. Whenever we start a brand new campaign or with a brand new business, the first thing we'll do is put them through like a testing phase. So the way I'd suggest doing that, so if you're an e-commerce brand, set up a campaign that is optimized for conversions, specifically purchases. Make a new campaign, and I generally do like 10 to 15 different interests or lookalikes. I would say interests if you're starting from scratch. So these interests could be anything that is very closely related to your product. So if you're doing skincare, you could do interests that would be skincare or cult beauty or any other sort of like skincare brand, for instance. So yeah, what I'd say is first test about 10 to 15 relevant interests that surround your product. Run them with a decent sized budget over a week. And then after the week, we generally would have some solid results. And then we would kill off the losing ad sets, keep the winning ad sets or audiences. And those would be our like proven audiences. And always you should be testing brand new audiences all of the time in the background. So if you ever run into a point where some audiences really start to stop performing, you can just simply swap them out with some better performing ones.
Okay, perfect. So obviously now I think it'd be good to be able to pick your brain a bit, Liam, and maybe get some of, basically just to be able to get some best practices from you. In your opinion, what are some of the most common mistakes that you see brands making today with Facebook ads?
Okay, so this one is probably the most important common mistake that I see. It would be trying to start Facebook ads before you should even really be thinking about them. So what I mean by that is, if you're an e-commerce store, before you start thinking about running paid traffic, you need to understand that the competition is extremely high. So if your website isn't up to scratch, if your messaging, if your angles isn't up to scratch, that's where you need to spend your time as well. Because you've got to think about it this way. If you're competing with a lot of other advertisers, they might see a person might see five ads that day for a similar product. They're obviously going to go with the better looking brand and site. So common mistake number one, make sure that you've got a website that is definitely set up to receive paid traffic. That is like number one. Another one would be, I covered this already, but it would be make sure you're optimizing your campaigns for the correct objective. So if you are very tight on budget and you can't afford to be spending too much money in like brand awareness phases, but you really need sales. Just make sure you're optimizing for conversions. Because if you optimize for traffic, for instance, you will drive a lot of traffic, but it's not necessarily going to drive that many sales. Whereas if you optimize for conversions, at least you are putting your brand in front of people who generally will purchase things from Facebook. So that's that. And then the last mistake that I see is people not either doing retargeting or post-purchase campaigns. So really quickly, retargeting, that would be, you can make a really, really simple retargeting campaign, which would be anyone who has visited site in the last 30 days, anyone who has engaged with a post or an ad in the last 30 days, and you just exclude anybody who's purchased. So that way we can target people who have shown some engagement with our brand but not purchased. We then retarget them with another ad and make sure the copy and creative is geared towards bringing them back in and breaking down the barrier to purchase, whether you talk about free shipping, any offers, that sort of thing. And then post-purchase would be with basically Facebook ads getting more and more expensive, we need to make sure the lifetime value of our customers is as high as it possibly can be. And what I mean by lifetime value is you don't want to get a customer in, buy once, and then never buy from you again, unless it's a product like a fridge, like you're not going to be constantly buying them. But if it's like a fashion brand, for instance, if you isolate an audience who have already purchased, put them into its own separate campaign on a small daily spend and advertise cross-sell products or upsell products to them, that allows you to leverage people who've already bought. They know your brand well. You don't have to convince them as hard to purchase. And that's just a really quick way to just get more sales. It's like really low hanging fruit that a lot of companies don't actually even do. So those, if you can fix those three mistakes, you're already off to a really good start.
So what are the most frequently asked questions that you get around paid ads?
Okay, so probably one of the main ones that I always get is, what is like the main factor that's going to make my campaign a success? And I would 100% always say, let's forget about the website in this instance. It's all I'm talking about here is paid social success. It would definitely be creative. So I would say this way. So creative can sort of overcome bad targeting, but you couldn't have it the other way around. Like, let's say you had a bad creative, you couldn't really overcome that with good targeting. No matter how relevant your targeting is, if your content and creative isn't on point, then you're going to really, really struggle. So one of the most frequently asked questions is, what makes the biggest difference in a campaign? I would 99% of the time say, focus on creative that stops people scrolling and shows your product in as good a light as possible. So that would be the first sort of FAQ. And the second one that we get quite a lot would be, why haven't my ads performed well on this one day, for instance? So what Facebook is quite a volatile platform, meaning it's an algorithm, it's constantly changing. So if you're running an ad for an e-commerce store, or if you're an e-commerce store owner, it can be easy to try and look into the day-to-day, the hour-by-hour on Facebook. But I would urge you to sort of understand the long-term effects, because you might have a good day, bad day, good day, bad day. But over the space of the month, we would see like an upwards trajectory. And it's very normal to have sort of bad performance days on Facebook. If it's like a really, really, really bad performing day, what we do a lot of the time would just be to turn off ad sets and restart them. And it sort of restarts the learning phase again. But don't get too disheartened if day to day you might see a bad dip in performance. It's extremely normal. It's quite a volatile platform. So that's just one thing that we get quite a bit. They're probably the two of the most common questions that I get.
Okay, so cheers for that, Liam. I think obviously you mentioned quite a lot there about the importance of content on paid social, and I know we're going to obviously talk a lot about that later on in the episode. So just for now, if it'd be good if maybe you could leave us with a little bit more about what your best practices are for paid social.
Okay, perfect. So we'll start from the ground up. Before you start any advertising, you sort of need to make sure you know exactly who you're advertising to. So this is all around building personas or customer avatars, whichever way you want to put it. So the best way to do that would be first understand the demographics, so age, genders, what their wants, needs, and desires are. Once you understand that, you can then start to create content and copy that speaks directly to those people. So that's first, before you do any ads, make sure you understand who you're advertising to. The next one would be have a good understanding of like how to write copy that sells. This is extremely overlooked when it comes to paid social. So obviously we put a big emphasis on creative, but there's also equally, there should be as big as emphasis on the copy as well. So just a really, really quick rule of thumb, to write some good copy, we follow sort of something called the AIDA principle, or AIDA, which is attention, interest, desire, and action. So the way to follow that would be grab someone's attention, first line, nice hook, get people interested. The other one would be interest. So you could maybe list some benefits then, and then desire, you could maybe do some kind of scarcity only, selling out fast, something like that. And then your action would be sending people through to site. So that's a really quick one. Another one would be to have a good mix of content. So what we do at Campfire before we start any account, we'll make sure that we've got a bunch of different creatives in place. So a good example would be lifestyle imagery, imagery on a plain background. You can then use them images on a plain background and overlay some text. And then you could have like a nice top of funnel brand video that shows what your product is, what the USPs are. So yeah, just have a nice content mix of images and videos. Another really, really good tip would just be, just keep it simple. You don't have to overcomplicate things. So in the world of media buying and paid social specifically, you can get really bogged down in these crazy ad hacks and tactics. But honestly, if you've got a good product, good creative, and good messaging, it doesn't have to be that crazy. So literally have a top of funnel campaign optimized for purchase conversions and a retargeting campaign targeting anyone who's visited site in the last 30 days. If you've just got a nice, simple setup like that, it can work really, really well. You don't have to do anything crazy. Again, I've said, make sure you're optimizing for the right objective. If you want sales, 9 times out of 10, that will be optimizing for conversions. And then the last thing I would leave it on would be content is king. Spend most of your time here. That doesn't have to be content just on Facebook. That can be content on site as well. So yeah, if I had to choose one thing where you should spend most of your time, it would be on that. And if you can follow these sort of best practices, you'll be off to a really good start when it comes to paid social. So yeah, I'd say just follow those rules and you should be fine.
Okay, thanks, Liam. I think that'll be really insightful for a lot of people. And before, I think you may have heard us talking a little bit about TV and billboard ads. What are your thoughts on TV and billboard ads?
I think that there's a reason people still invest in them. There's definitely a time and a place for them. And brands see direct impact on sales when TV ads are live versus when they're not live. So they obviously work. But again, like I would say, there's a time and a place, and that time and place would be when you are probably already a big success. Thankfully now, through paid social, whether it be on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, it allows us to target specific people when we might have tighter budgets. But your billboards is that top line brand awareness, keeping you in mind. So it's more of a subconscious thing, I'd say, in marketing. So let's say JD Sports, I know they are huge on billboards. So if it comes a time where I want to buy a new pair of joggers, new pair of trainers, because I have constantly been hit with billboards, whether it be on my drive to work, when I'm out for a walk, it's more of a subconscious messaging. I think that's why billboards work well. It's more for that brand awareness, keeping your brand in people's mind. But I wouldn't say it's a necessary thing to do if you want to just get your business off the ground. There are much better ways to go about it, which would be your paid social. or your Google Ad routes, where you can get much more specific with your targeting.
Yeah. I think there's still a level of prestige that comes attached to billboards and TV ads, just because it feels like, because you've bought this enormous space, either outside or on the side of a building or multiple spots in city centres, I think there's a kind of inflated perception of cost of, or of what that costs to do. I think if people actually found out what it costs to run a billboard campaign on multiple, especially now they're digital billboards and it takes out the labour cost as well.
Hmm.
I feel like brands, a lot of smaller brands, would be surprised at how cheap it is to buy billboard space around towns versus that sort of prestige factor you get with it. But I kind of wanted to, well, if it was me doing it, I'd want to know how are you tracking who's being exposed to these ads. So I would assume they do it by average footfall past that ad, then split that by roughly what percentage of that footfall is in my demographic. And I guess that's how they do it, which must work out to be still quite expensive versus, well, extremely expensive versus Facebook ads.
I think billboards work on a CPM basis, like a cost to reach like 1,000 people. And they do it like, they exactly work out footfall and like how many impressions that billboard would get. So I think when you're buying a billboard, let's say it's above the Mancunian Way, for instance, they'll know how many cars are driving past. They'll be able to calculate how many impressions that ad will get. And I think that's how they work it. But it'd be interesting to see, I wonder what the cost of impressions would be on a billboard versus on Facebook on your phone, where you are much more likely to take notice than if you're just walking past, I'd say. If I see an ad that is on a billboard, I then go, well, obviously that's a good brand because they're on a prestigious thing, they're on a billboard. Whereas if I see them on Facebook, I could be like, well, everyone can advertise on Facebook, so like, how do I know they're actually any good or not? So maybe there's a bit of that at play.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like if there's a brand that you've been following for a while who's just specifically been on social and influencer, say, for a while, and then you see them on a TV ad, most of the time you'll go, oh, no way, they've got a TV ad. Like, if you've known them for a while, because it feels like a level up from social. For some reason,
Well, it's because people are aware these days of the associated cost. Like Liam said before, like anyone these days can put a Facebook ad. If you've got £10, you can put out a Facebook ad. But if you've got £10, you can't put out a TV ad.
Yeah, and then the thing that I get surprised by is, so in your head you go, oh, wow, they've got a TV ad. But then when you actually think about what's happening, so we know that like a very, very, very successful show like Game of Thrones or something had like something like, I'll have to fact check this, but I'm going to say estimate like 10 to 12 or something million viewers on the last episode live. And when we've worked with creators in the past, we've gained considerably more views than that. But then you could say, yeah, but it's Game of Thrones, it's like a premium show. And then I would say, okay, then think about what you do in the ads. Have you recorded it and you're fast forwarding through the ads, or are you going making a brew, or are you going on your phone, or being honest, are you sitting there and watching all of those ads all the way through? Probably not. So I would say the most valuable slots are maybe the first 15 seconds at the ad break, and then the maybe 30 seconds after you get back, like not wanting to miss the show. Whoever's getting those middle slots, I was like, I'd think what percentage of people are staying sat there watching the 2.5 minutes of ads? So I feel like there's a balance. I feel like, yes, there's a prestige of having a TV ad, but realistically in today's world, if you think about it, having an ad slot in a primetime TV show, if you're paying, say, what, I don't know, like 15 grand, I don't actually know what it costs, like 15K for a middle ad slot in a primetime TV show, maybe more, how effective is that? I don't know.
Hmm. And I think the only way you could measure that would be like, just general brand awareness and like brand uplift. But like you say, like how effective is it going to be in direct sales as a result of that.
100%. I'm sure like Sky or whoever's selling these ad slots are going to be like, there's models that we can show you that prove that, like, because this is my naivety speaking, but this is just what I'm assuming from my own personal behavior and behavior of friends and family that I'm assuming this.
So let's say, for example, though, like what you're saying there really is, unless you get the first 15 seconds or last 15 seconds, there's a good chance your ad's not being watched. Would you say then that TV ads are pointless? If you can track everything on social and you know you can get it for much cheaper and target everyone you want, whereas on TV, if you don't get the first or last 15, then it's pointless. And also, you don't know who's watching it. You can't track it either. Would you say it's pointless?
It's probably not pointless because there must be a percentage of people that stick, that do watch ads all the way through. Maybe they don't have a phone or something. I don't know. Like anyone that's got an iPhone or a phone with or a second screen, surely. But I'm speaking through my own behavior. But surely, yeah, picks up their phone midway through the ads at least to check if they've got any messages. Like apps and your phone have trained you way too long for like years and years and years to constantly check it. So as soon as the thing that you're watching isn't actually what you're intending to watch, you're probably going to get that like niggle in your brain saying, check if you've got any texts from your friends, check if you've got any phone calls, and then you'll get sucked into an Instagram feed where all your friends are, rather than watch an ad about car insurance halfway through your favorite program. Now there's a huge percentage of people watching video on demand as well, where sort of demand for attention and people wanting to watch things on their own time is increasing as well. So people get super, super excited by like a few hundred thousand views on Prime, on TV now, which working in social media and working with the numbers that we do it seems like, how is there this much money behind that number of viewers? Is what I personally always think that anyway.
I think it's really useful as like the icing on top of the like cake sort of thing. I think if you've got a solid base already, you've got a loyal customer base, you've got a really profitable business, TV advertising is just a really quick way to reach a mass audience. And I think the way that they work is it's more like on a subconscious level. They're just making sure that their brand is like front of mind all of the time. It's not necessarily, they're not looking for the direct sales as a result of that ad. I think it's more of a long-term brand awareness piece. I think that's where the value comes in.
Just to back that up, I have been in meetings with brands in the past, or people that have worked previously at brands like beauty brands like L'Oreal, for example, and they do have a very, they are very focused on that glamour factor. So it doesn't matter if it's going to drive sales. They need to maintain that level of prestige. And I imagine it would be this similar for any kind of more luxurious brand. They want to maintain that they want to keep that glossiness about their brand. So I do agree with that.
Okay, so as a final point then, just to round this topic up, what do you think is going to happen, both of you, what do you think is going to happen to TV and billboard advertising over the next 10 years?
I think the way that TV is at the moment may stay, but I think the way that ads and media space is bought will change. Essentially, I think that the TV that we're watching now, the fact that it's not tracked and targeted, broadcast television isn't tracked and targeted in the same way that Facebook ads and Facebook behavior is tracked and targeted, is really strange. And why everyone isn't receiving ads that are more specific to them or more specific to their family, household, area. I understand that you can't advertise specific to one person like you can with a mobile because it's very personal. But why there's not a kind of more hyper-targeted advertising method in place at the moment for broadcast TV, I'm not sure. I think that the model that's happening right now is quite old. And then with billboards, I think it'll swap to something like AR,
Yeah, I heard Google did a talk last year, I think, and it was on this exact issue of targeting. And I think it would be, I think it's going to turn to the case of where individual users will log in to watch TV potentially, or like your own TV will know exactly like what your own interests are. And then based on like, so the same person could be watching the same TV program as someone else, but as soon as the ad break hits, they'll get a different set of advertisements based on their own profiles. It makes sense to do that, and it's 100% doable if, like you said, if all TV is watched through the internet rather than like broadcast. Like, but whether I think the only live shows that people watch really now would be like season finales or sports. But most of the time, if you can watch something on your own time, you would do that. So I feel like TV is going to change to where, well, it already is. Most people only watch TV on their own time. So it's only just going to carry on to do that. But with advertising, the biggest change I think will come where you can actually leverage targeting for TV adverts. And that would be, then that makes TV advertising a good buy again. Whereas now, like we were saying before, it's not necessarily the smartest move if you've got a tight budget, but hey, if you can target through interest through TV advertising, maybe we see a resurgence of TV ads again, like people wanting to buy them.
So as you mentioned before, content is a huge part of success in paid, but we'll talk about that now. So thanks so much for your time and thanks for your insights.
No worries, enjoyed it. Thank you.
Now we've understood the bulk of paid ads, what should your paid content contain and how can you make sure that it resonates with your viewers? Well, throughout the season, we've been speaking to psychologists to help us understand how we tick and make sure that we're marketing effectively, efficiently, and ethically.
So first up, choose your narrative and keep in mind the reason why you are making an ad. Is it awareness or is it performance marketing? Remember that both Marie Dietz and Dr. Chris Hand told us that novel and surprising ideas work best to capture attention first and foremost.
Secondly, as per advice from Dr. Christopher Hand in episode 1, make sure you aren't overloading your ads with too much information. Remember he told us that we can fatigue people's brains and they just switch off quickly.
Thirdly, make sure you're using your logo and some form of branding throughout all paid content. Don't make people guess who the ad is from. Sticking to your branding, such as colours and fonts, is important. If people see the same sort of branding consistently, they're likely to remember you.
Fourth and finally, leverage Facebook's unique tools such as A-B testing to trial lots of different creatives and messaging. Then reallocate your budget to push the creatives that's performing best once you know what your audience is enjoying most. So there we have it. Hopefully you're now more clued up on paid and paid creative. Thanks again to Liam for sharing those insights. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode and got some useful information from it. If this episode has piqued your interest about other episodes, make sure you head back and download them. We've got our last episode next week, so make sure you stay tuned.
If you're interested in working with Campfire, get in touch on LinkedIn or on our website at www.campfire.co.uk. See you next week.